you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 212 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. Today, my guest is once again our friend Shelley Ingram. Now, if you recall, Shelley was previously on the show with episode 207, which wasn't all that long ago, was at the end of March. But I've asked her back on because right after we recorded her original appearance, where she was all giddy about her new office space and the prospects of her solo practice and how it was taking off. Right after that, we all got the stay-at-home order. And even though in Maryland, where we practice, lawyers and law offices were deemed essential services, still, the stay-at-home order statewide had an effect on the practice of law here in Maryland. And I wanted to circle back with her and talk about that quick pivot that she had from being established in a physical space and going to the office every day to having to deal with the remote office. And more importantly, what the effect of the pandemic has had on the flow of clients into her office and the type of and nature of the work that she's doing as a family law practitioner. So it's a really interesting discussion, I thought, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So without any further delay, here's my friend Shelley Ingram. Shelley Ingram, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for having me back.
So this is kind of interesting because, you know, obviously, we've had guests return to the show a number of times, but I don't think we've had one return so quickly to our program as we are doing here with you. For those of you who may not recognize the name, Shelley was on with us back in episode 207, which went live on the 30th of March, but which actually was recorded on the 3rd of March. So we recorded it about a month before it went live. And of course, the moment we recorded the show, we spent a great bit of time in episode 207 talking about how you opened your new practice and how you went solo and the physical aspects of your office space and your setup and your staffing and all those things that we like to cover when we discuss opening a solo practice. And of course, within days after that, the whole world changed a little bit. So I thought it would be great to have you back on to see how you pivoted under those circumstances and what the future might entail. So with that as a backdrop, Shelley, tell our audience, remind them a little bit about who you are and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. I have a small family law firm in Howard County, Maryland. We really are soup to nuts, family law, divorce, child custody, prenuptial agreements. We do some litigation. We are also all mediators in my firm. All the attorneys are mediators. And we, as of next week, will all be collaboratively trained. That's one of the things that we've put into place while the office has been at stay-at-home mode, which is to really try and get everyone on our team up to speed with some of those out-of-court services that we can provide to help our clients during this unprecedented time.
Yeah, okay. So let's take that kind of one piece at a time. So you were a full-spectrum family law practice. And look, family law has been one of those practice areas that have really been kind of hit hard in some ways, and maybe not so much in others. Here in where the jurisdiction that you and I live, for the most part, the courts and the circuit courts are closed, and so there's no cases, there's no family law cases moving through the system. So how did that affect your the workflow, the level of effort that your office is expending?
I think that's an interesting question with respect to the way the workday has changed. Obviously, when the courts closed, we already had a full book of business, and people who are in crisis with respect to their family issues, that doesn't go away when circumstances in the world change. In many respects, it's heightened. If you have a co-parent that you can't communicate with under ideal normal circumstances, when you layer on a pandemic, that gets worse. So we've had a lot of clients with custody issues, clients who have had loss of employment or reduction in earnings, and they have had immediate concerns and questions regarding their support payments, alimony, child support, and that type of thing. We've had a lot of clients with issues regarding their transitions. And of course, there's a lot of talk, you see it in sort of a joking way on social media, but there is a certain reality to the test that stay-at-home orders place on a relationship, for better or worse. So we've had an influx of inquiries for people who are looking to do something, but really feel as though they can't do anything under the current circumstances, in part because they have no place to go, but also because of concerns about the courts being closed. So we've had to think about ways that we can address those needs for prospective clients so we could continue to have new client leads coming in.
Yeah, it's really a double-edged sword there, because on the one hand, as I said, the courts are closed, and so the trial work is not progressing through the system the way it had been. But on the other hand, as you said, the issues that families face, it's probably exacerbated, not probably, without question, it's exacerbated under the current circumstances. I mean, if you had challenges with respect to custody and visitation before the stay-at-home order, you're going to have that multiplied and amplified because of the order. So it just makes things even more challenging.
It really has been. And when you think about inconsistencies in parenting as being an issue amongst family law clients, particularly those with custody cases, how people have honored or not the CDC recommendations, the orders from the governor with respect to how you're supposed to maintain social distancing and whether or not you should be in groups and that type of thing, that has come up quite a bit. And then, of course, we have a crop of clients who are first responders, who are in healthcare. And then there's that set of issues with respect to potential exposures for kids and other family members that have been new issues that we've had to deal with as well. And of course, the law and the position of the courts and the judiciary on these issues is ever changing as the weeks go by. So needing to really stay on top of developments in these issues has been important, because it's not the type of thing where you can go to Lexis or do a little case law search and figure out how it's been handled before, because it just hasn't happened in a way that we have those resources.
No, and I was on a Zoom conference call with some non-attorneys, I think it was just yesterday, and I was discussing this issue. They were asking me what the effect of the stay-at-home orders was having on the practice of law. And of course, these were entrepreneurs who kind of immediately globbed onto the concept, well, it must be great for estate planning attorneys. And I went, well, yeah, to some degree, but not as much as you may think. But it's really a challenge for family law attorneys because of just the reasons we talked about. I mean, just think about the number of motions to modify that you've dealt with as a family law practitioner when one parent introduces what the other parent thinks is a dangerous situation with respect to the custody of their children. And now you've, as you said, if that person was a first responder or isn't adhering to the to the stay-at-home guidelines is to the same degree that the other spouse is. It's fraught with the opportunity of an explosion of challenges.
Well, and even the court, the local bar association and the judiciary has done a great job trying to get information out to practitioners, but even amongst the bench, how they would like you to handle these issues and how they would decide these issues are really the classic, it depends. So when you're advising your clients, it depends isn't particularly helpful to them. And they're all really coming from a place of fear because, you know, while they don't want to be sick and they don't want to expose their families, they also, you know, this is a time where people want to keep their families close. Right. So anything that gets in the way of that is, you know, life altering.
Yeah, don't let me get too comfortable here on my soapbox when I start to rail against the fact that there's different rules in different jurisdictions. I just, for the life of me, I don't understand that how you practice in one county under these conditions is different than how you practice in another when we're in the same state. I don't get that when there's no stay-at-home order, you know, no pandemic, and I doubly don't get it under these conditions because it just creates a massive amount of confusion.
Well, and it's really unfortunate with respect to the rollout of Maryland's electronic case filings because those counties that are on MDEC, where you can file things electronically, they have been able to adapt a little bit over the last couple of weeks. So I've learned that with respect to Anne Arundel County and Howard County, and I think Baltimore County and some of the other MDEC jurisdictions, they are starting to do some scheduling conferences remotely. They are starting to have some settlement conferences. They've made some arrangements for uncontested divorces to go through so that everybody isn't just taking a number. And when I say taking a number, they're not even calling any numbers. So you're taking a number for, you don't even know when. So that's been really terrific. But unfortunately for people and families who live in those places where MDEC hasn't gone live, which of course are the biggest counties in the state, you know, the most active courthouses, they're going to be waiting and they're going to be waiting a really long time because the courts are so busy in those places where we don't have it yet. Just this week, one of the local courts sent out an email to members of the bar and they actually asked that you don't, even though the courts are accepting filings, that you just don't file anything. Like, please don't file anything.
Yeah.
Because
you're just adding to the problem.
Correct.
Now, I do suspect, and well, I don't even have to suspect, you've said as much as have other family law attorneys, that one of the, I'm not so sure I would characterize it as a benefit, but one of the results of what we're going through is that it puts even greater emphasis on mediation and collaborative approaches to resolving disputes. And as you said, your whole office, you're all certified mediators and now soon to be certified in collaborative law. Do you see that being a long-term result of how we have to operate, not just during this pandemic, but post-pandemic as well?
I think most people in family law would say that the courts are really a place of last resort for families.
Sure.
That family cases should be resolved out of court if you can. So I think there's always a little bit of that in family law anyway, but I do think that there's going to be more of it. And I think when the courts see the response of the bar with respect to pumping up these types of offerings, I think they're going to capitalize on that because I think really even the bench thinks of themselves as a bit of the last resort for families and would much prefer to see family cases. And of course, these would be, you know, more custody and non-monetary cases resolved outside of the courts. Frequently, when people have high net worth or, you know, very complex financial issues, the courts understand a little bit better why they're there, as opposed to being able to reach agreements at times. But in those other cases, I think the court is going to encourage it even more so than they had been previously. And of course, you know, parenting plans and the joint custody statements that have just come out this year in Maryland are really geared towards that end anyway, encouraging people to work more out of the court process on reaching whatever agreements they can. So I think that will increase.
Yeah, well, I think it makes it an easier sell to the client.
It's funny that you say that, though, with respect to the sell, because I think, you know, the thing that's on everybody's mind right now is marketing and how they're going to sell any service to anyone.
Well, true.
So we have to be, I think we have to be particularly careful. I've seen a lot of, you know, memes and things on social media about how family law lawyers are basically, you know, waiting for the dust to settle and pounce because everyone's going to hate their spouse when this is over or that type of thing. And I really don't want my firm to be lumped into that pile because I think having a little empathy across the board for family law clients always is really important. And then of course, you know, when you're marketing right now, I think we've really had to shift to a softer marketing approach because I don't want people to think that we're just out to squeeze what little money they have left under these sort of belt tightening circumstances. I yeah. much prefer people to look at my firm and think that we want to help. So
yeah, I guess I meant more, I mean, they're selling in terms of marketing to expose your firm to potential clients and hopefully, you know, retaining them as clients going forward. But also, once they've signed that retainer agreement and you're working their family law case, as we all know, there is a certain degree of persuasion that an attorney has to exercise to help make it clear to our clients that sometimes it's in their best interest, most times it's in their best interest to enter into a mediated agreement or doesn't even have to be mediated, just enter into agreement without the involvement of the court because they have more control and they can finalize it. You could have it all done and ready to be tied up with a bow by the court when the time the court is open. And so if you say to a client, look, we here in the county that I practice in, we may not get to court for another year, year and a half because of the backlog. So if we're going to get something done, we're going to have to do it together under an agreement and formalize that agreement and put it in place and start and live by it. And we get the court order slapped on it somewhere down the road. But if we want to resolve this issue for the family, we're going to have to do it on our own because the courts aren't going to be there for us. And in some ways, I think that is more persuasive to the client.
I think that's true. And I think right now with the, you know, so we don't know how long the courts are going to be closed, right? Right now they're closed until May. And I think most people, if you ask them, think they'll be closed until sometime in June, but we just don't know.
Yep.
And so then the idea is, you know, you have these cases and you're getting them ready. But what are you getting them ready for? And so maybe you're getting it ready, you know, for a trial that's supposed to be the first week in June. And you're doing all of that in May while courts are potentially closed. And then, you know, it gets bumped. And so the cost of preparing for a trial is potentially double right now. Because if 6 months passes in a family law case before you get to court, you're going to have to do some of the work. Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So the cost of, you know, a very expensive process are potentially even more, even if you do the best you can to mitigate unnecessary work.
Well, you know, I don't know that anybody knows how this is going to play out with respect to the court schedule and backlog and all of those things. So we're just going to have to see.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice.
Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. Let's talk a little bit now about what you've done as a result. So here you are. You were in your office space and happy and thriving.
So happy.
And had a thriving practice going on. And then all of a sudden, the instruction came down. You got to go home. How did you manage that with your staff? And what did you do?
Well, it's interesting. So law firms are essential workers. So, we don't actually have to go home.
True.
But that was really even very scary. I think for me as a small business owner, knowing that, there was the recommendation that people stay at home, but we could stay open. And then there was, another layer of shutdowns where more small businesses were closed. And, there was a very short window of time before some interpretive orders came out that I thought maybe the office was actually going to have to be closed. So we've been really grateful to be able to keep working and to have enough work to keep everybody working. But it has been a real transition. As a team, we're a small office. So we sat down at the conference table, which actually didn't allow us to be 6 feet apart, but with a little bit of distance, and talked about what it would be that would make everyone feel safe. Because while I run the office and make the decisions, I really wanted to make sure that everyone that worked with me felt like I was looking out for them. So I didn't want to make the decisions on my own. So we originally agreed that one person would be the man on deck at the office. And for 1 week, that person continued to go into the office every day to get the mail, scan the mail, be the point person on the phones and the calendars. And we shifted everyone else to remote work. And after about a week of that, the one person that was going in every day, I think, was getting a little bit nervous being the only person in the building, because even though she was the only person in our office, it was still needing to get gas to get there, needing to go through the door handles in the commercial office building, using the shared restroom. So there were a lot of potential exposures, even though once she got into the office, she was okay. So we ultimately shifted her to work at home as well. So now we are 100% work from home, which has been, it's been interesting because I've really wanted to try and have everyone feel super connected and like we're in this as a team. So figuring out how I'm going to do that has been new.
Yeah. What are some of the examples of how you addressed it? Did you, a daily stand-up Zoom meeting or?
Twice daily. We're having the once in the morning and once in the afternoon, because it's twofold, really. I want to check in with everyone. Not everyone is straight billable hour type of work. So making sure that everyone has something to bring to the table if they don't have billable hour work. Making sure that if there is work, we're allocating it amongst the staff to keep everybody busy, not having one person sort of stockpile tasks and everyone else waiting. And making sure everyone really appreciates, from a small business standpoint, how we're in this together. I think I will be a success at the end of this if I've been able to keep everybody on full payroll and everybody on staff. That's really been a goal of mine from the beginning, to make it work and to keep my small team together. So it's been a little bit scary and a little bit overwhelming, but so far so good. I feel really pleased that I've been able to keep everyone motivated and I have been able to make it work.
Has this presented any opportunity for you to spend time doing, you know, a project as a team or as an office or individually that you might not have otherwise gotten to, or certainly wouldn't have gotten to as of yet? You mentioned that everybody is going to be certified in collaborative divorce proceedings. Is that something you took on recently, or was that already in the work? Or, you know, what, if anything else, have you been able to do?
Yeah. So with respect to the collaborative training, it had always been a goal of mine to have my associates both be collaboratively trained. I really want to be able to offer a full range of collaborative services in the office. And by that, I mean, someone can have a really experienced collaborative attorney, or someone who's perhaps newer and comes at a lower hourly rate. So it opens collaborative up for people who might not have been able to afford it otherwise because of the higher price tag with a more experienced attorney. And so I was really excited to be able to get my associates into a virtual collaborative training that's being offered this week and next. And, you know, given that their workload is a little bit lighter, it's really an ideal time. I want to say to have them out of the office, but that sort of seems like a pun. But to have them out of the office for the training. And another thing that I've been working on is a lot more sort of posting on social media and blog writing for my office. It seems that the blog writing really is something that always falls to the side when we get busy with other work. But I've been trying really hard to have regular content go live on my blog since we went into stay-at-home mode, because I think more people are on social media. So picking blogs that are timely with respect to COVID updates or COVID implications for child support modifications and that type of thing can be the type of soft marketing that I think I mentioned earlier. But also, we've done it in a way that if people are just looking for information and they're not able to afford an attorney, there's still good information there for them too. So I feel like it's been a little bit of a give back. You know, I'm not one to shy away from a little pro bono work or low bono work when clients need it. And I'm involved with all those sort of local associations. But even that type of give back to the community is really hard right now. So we wrote you know, a blog post really encouraging people to get in line right away for their child custody modifications. And I think before this, it would have been against my better judgment, but I went ahead and put links in the blog post to the judiciary's website where the forms are available for people online for free if they can't afford to have an attorney, because I just wanted to feel like I was helping in some way.
Yeah.
So some of that kind of stuff.
What? How's your staff holding up? How are they taking this?
You know, each one of them, they're all very different. And from week to week, they've all had sort of, I think, different feelings on the transition to work from home and different concerns about what it means for them and their jobs, because people around us are getting laid off or having reductions in earnings and that type of thing. So I think they're all really committed to seeing the firm succeed, just like I am during this really unusual time. And then, of course, you know, as people around them are sick or not sick, and just the strain of being at home, some of my staff members have young kids, and they're trying to balance work from home and their families, which can be tough. So, you know, I have tried really hard to let them see a calm face, even when everything on the inside isn't calm, and to connect with them separately from our daily staff meetings, just to check in if I can tell, or it seems to me sure. like they're a little on edge, or if they're having a little bit of a harder time, maybe focusing on tasks, because I can see in our practice management that they didn't get much done that day, you know, just to say, you know, how can we help? And I've really been open to whatever suggestions that they have about what I can do for them to make the day-to-day work from home a little bit better. So I've right now got everybody sticking to traditional office hours. So we have a 9:30 meeting and a 4 o'clock meeting every day. And we talk about, you know, just litigation stuff and client needs and how we can move things forward for clients. But, you know, I have offered to a few of the people on my team, you know, if you need to work different hours because it's harder to manage it because this is when your child needs more or that type of thing, let's talk about it. But so far, everybody has stayed plugged in with the 9-to-5 model.
You know, I think retaining that structure is very useful. I know for me personally, not having the rhythm of a standard work week, not being able to tell the difference between a Sunday and a Monday is challenging. And I've likened it in the past to, you know, a writer sitting down at the implement that we used to use back in the day, a typewriter with a blank sheet of paper and not knowing where to start his novel. I think having, you know, your morning meeting, your afternoon meeting, your 9-to-5, your Monday through Friday, I think that rhythm, that structure, even if what happens in between is different and the flow is different, I think that structure is comforting to a lot of people.
Well, and I will say that my hours have been in many ways like they were when I first started my firm, because I've been doing so many things that aren't directly client related, but revolving around just administration and keeping everybody working and, you know, applying for this, you know, the payroll protection loans and making sure that everybody that is doing everything that they're doing in a way that's the most efficient under these unusual circumstances, so that if we're using this technology that it's working the best, or maybe something is better, and how are we going to make sure the paper files are up to date when we get back, and you know, the bookkeeping is taking a lot longer because I don't have a person who's able to go in to do it, so I'm doing more of it right now. So it's been
careful,
a little bit of a challenge. Oh God, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And you know, it's funny. So I have really been trying. I think the routine has been saving me in many respects. I am getting up in the morning at the same time I would if I was going into the office, and I'm still trying to do a little exercise and self-care every day. I joke with my husband because I've continued to wear pants with a button. Just one, so that when it comes time to get back to court, my suits still fit me. So I'm, you know, I'm good trying to do some of these things that, you know, add a little normal to all of this abnormal. And that's kind of been my theme since we started this. And I think it's really helped me on the days when I've felt the most like, you know, what is happening here in the world. And in my office, what is happening here? My routine has given me a place to go so that, you know, it's like paint by numbers. It gets me started and then I just keep going.
Well, I think you're not alone. And I think there's lots of firms all around the country that are experiencing the same kind of challenge. And I think your illustration of how you have approached it is illustrative and meaningful to a lot of folks. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to come back so quickly and talk about how you had to pivot and what that's meant for your law firm. Shelley, as we wrap up here, tell our audience how they might reach out to you if they want to follow up with anything you've had to say or just offer you a word of encouragement. How can they reach you?
Oh, thank you, Neil. Sure. My website is shelleyingramlaw.com. Shelly Ingram, Ingram, law. And so I have a V card and all of my contact information is on my website, as well as my firm's social media and the blog, which is filled with lots of new articles right now. So if anybody wants to reach me, they can get me through my website.
That's awesome. All right, Shelley. Well, keep at it, and I'll check in with you shortly, and we'll see how you're doing on the other end of this nonsense.
Thank you, Neil. Stay safe.
And you too. Take care. Well, there you have it, law entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists and Jurisdiction. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.